This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Wow, wow, wow. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ENN on this Monday, September 27th. I'd like to start off this evening by saying good evening to Michael.
I'm going to turn you into a little ball pinata.
And then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
I'm clearly the least intelligent person in this conversation.
Yes. Very.
And Michael again?
Barry Manilow.
And Don again.
I flush it.
Perfect. ENN tonight brought to you by our friends at Fidelis Care. Lot to get into, guys. Let's hear from Rex Ryan, who was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max earlier. Here's what he saw from the Jets.
Practice, I get it. You should execute like crazy. You're going on scout cards and all that. You're putting a game plan together. But guess what? The team you're going against ain't the X's there, O's that you're going up against in practice. But the thing is, it ain't just about looking good on the practice field, dude. We need to see results on the game field. And right there, it looked like to me that whole team, they flew out there, but they weren't there. I don't get that.
Fair point. I didn't like when Saleh said, you know, we've been practicing so great. Practicing against your team, which is bad.
I think both of these teams right now, this year, have been poorly coached. It's their number one problem.
Now, penalties are a big part of what their problem, you're right.
Absolutely, especially at the times these penalties come. Now, Saleh and LaFleur get passes, I guess, right? Because it's their first year. It's Saleh's first year as a head coach, so you hope that it's going to get better. You don't judge anybody.
Well, and he inherited an awful football team.
Right, and you don't judge anybody on just 3 years, and you're working with a quarterback that's young and all that. But the Giants, you know, we're talking about a second-year head coach. We're talking about an offensive coordinator who's been in the league forever.
Well, hold on.
So that's a bigger issue to me.
Well, hold on to your hat when it comes to the Giants. We'll get there in 1 second. Let's stay with the Jets for a moment. Here's Jets guard Greg Van Roten talking about the pressure on Zach Wilson.
He's got to learn, this is the NFL, you got to get the ball out. You can't hold on to it and try and make a play and throw it deep downfield. And we got to protect him better. You know, it starts with us up front. So we got to get on the same page. I thought we were better today with our communication for the most part. There's always going to be a few plays here and there that you want to clean up. Some different looks. You know, they didn't really pressure too much. But when they did, they were successful. And that's the kind of things that you need to stop. But you also can't be in 3rd and 10 and 3rd and 8 and expect to convert all those. I know we weren't very good on 3rd down today. And it starts with getting in 3rd and manageable.
But by the way, that's not as bad a dig as it sounded like when you read it, and I'm sure you'll see in the paper tomorrow. You know, I don't know what the clever headline will be about Zach's own guard not wanting to guard him anymore. But when you really hear what he's saying, he is going after the whole team.
Yeah, but we asked Sal about it. He said, "Well, that's coach speak." Great, he's not a coach. Shut up. Right. Don't say that.
Well, but what did he say?
He said he's got to get rid of the ball quicker. I understand everything else he said after that. He shouldn't have said that.
Right.
He's got to be smarter than that. This kid is a complete noob.
Right. But also, Van Roten is somebody that does talk. He's a really, really nice guy from what I understand. So he didn't mean anything malicious by it. He spoke out of school, and he shouldn't. But Peter's right. There's been a tremendous overreaction. I was looking at social media after he said he has to be cut. He has to be made an example. Stop. All right. The problem with the fan base is, I think in 2 of the first 3 weeks, he is graded out as the worst offensive lineman in football. So he's probably in no position to speak, but he's somebody that the media is comfortable with. They talk to him. He makes himself available, and
he misspoke.
He should be forgiven for
it. I don't know, though, man. You want to find your superstar quarterback who's going to be able to handle New York, and then everyone runs and gets their panties in a bunch the second one of his teammates, in a respectful way, calls him out. I like seeing players who are going to go on to be turned into studs getting called out by their teammates when they're young. I hear what Michael's saying. I understand why it might not be ideal, but if the guy is the man, this is not a big deal.
But
it's not a big deal.
True, and it's from somebody who defended him, and I think Michael will have my back on this one. If it's Damian Woody, if it's Alan Faneca, you know, if it's somebody who's been in this league a long time, has gone to Pro Bowls, played in a couple of Super Bowls. But when you're somebody that's struggling just as much as the newbie, it's probably a good idea to keep your mouth shut and just focus on yourself.
We have no idea. I bet it doesn't even bother Zach Wilson. It doesn't. But we have no idea if Wilson could play yet. We have no idea. I'm not putting any of this on him. Even all the interceptions, none of it on him. He's not been given a chance. Can't judge him.
But unfortunately, at some point, you're going to have to.
Right, but not after three games where his offensive line is letting him get hit constantly.
But if let's say this ends up being a throwaway year, where we look at the year and they finish, you know, 3-14, 2-15, and say, well, it's not his fault. We need to wait. Well, that's a whole year gone in a sport where you've got to make decisions in 3 years. They don't want to have to run into the Sam situation again, where we fast forward 3 years later and go, God, I just don't know. Should we pay him? We don't know enough. So every game you waste is one step closer to having to throw him away.
Here's Dan Orlovsky, who's on with Greeny, and he says Zach Wilson's missing that veteran presence in the locker room.
The reality is they don't have anybody in their really offensive staff right now in the quarterback room that could sit down with Zach Wilson and be like, that's not real. You know, there's the difference between college football and the NFL.
Right.
Some stuff in college football happens and it's not real life. It's not reality. You need someone in that room with him every single day talking about what's real, what isn't. You can, you can't, you should, you shouldn't, you will and you won't. And they're missing that right now. And what you're starting to see is a little bit of pressure, so to speak, of like the heat is on and he's trying to force it.
I understood for a long time why they didn't bring in a veteran quarterback, because you didn't want to have that hanging over his head. And now I've recalibrated. I don't understand why they don't. He can't go to Mike White and have him explain what's happening. He needs a voice. It was supposed to be Knapp, who tragically died in that bicycle accident, but they've got to have a veteran guy. Yeah. Even LaFleur is a baby. Bring in a veteran guy to walk him through this stuff. What's the big deal that you won't do that?
Yeah,
well, sorry, Mike. Unless he can play special teams, Michael, there's no way to bring him in.
Excellent point.
Now, Greg Knapp was supposed to be that guy. He was a quarterback guru. He passed away back in July. It was late July, all right? But still, you're talking about 2 months ago. So if you felt like you were fine and the Knapp was the perfect guy, well, in the last 8 weeks, you could have probably found some veteran. If I'm not mistaken, I think Hoyer signed back with the Patriots like 2 weeks ago. So he was available. Just anybody right now. Peter said
even
it last
Josh
week so
Johnson,
perfectly.
A guy like Josh Johnson, who's been there and done that and been on the field, they have nobody.
But Peter said last week, I think you went to do the Yankees. I think it was like late in the 6 o'clock hour, Friday or Thursday. This is a team that paid Josh McCown $10 million.
Right, to be a handholder.
Right, and I think it worked in that first season for Sam. So you go find somebody who's played the position before.
Find Josh McCown.
What a difference a couple years makes, from $10 million to they can't spare a dime on it. Here's everyone's favorite 12-year-old, TD.Sports, on TikTok, breaking down another Jets debacle.
Another week, another disappointment. Look at Zach, stepping up in the pocket, navigating pressure, delivers a dart to White Deontay Johnson, and it's intercepted. Let's go. Only the Jets could pull this stuff off. It's 4th and 6, we're blocking 6, they're bringing 5, yet there's 3 Broncos on Zach Wilson, and he takes a sack. Look at this, Zach Wilson scrambling out of the pocket, navigating pressure again, delivers an absolute dime to Walmart DK Metcalf, and surprise, it's dropped. I'm a temporary Rams fan until the Jets prove that they're not a college-level team. Go Rams.
That's not a 12-year-old. That's a sped-up adult.
You know what? That went to cute and annoying on a dime.
Right. That's kind of loud and irritating.
Last week, not a kid.
Last week, it was adorable. This is great. Now, like, the success has gone to his head. It's a mess. Now it's over. It was fun. I hope you enjoyed your week. It's done.
It's also, he's not 12.
He is 12.
No, it's an adult with the voice sped up. There's no way that's a 12-year-old.
I will bet you any amount of money that's a real 12-year-old.
No, it definitely is.
Why is it definitely
because
a
12-year-old? Because if you ever heard a 12-year-old?
Week, now all of a sudden he thinks he's Mr. Professional. He got a little bit of fame and now is talking faster and now you ruined it.
But it's 12-year-old. I'm confident.
You'll see. You'll see.
An annoying 12-year-old. And
I think he's about 39 years old.
Let's go over to the Giants. Here's Daniel Jones on his team's frustration.
Guys are frustrated and certainly disappointed with the results. We're all competitors and we want to win. We expect to win, so that's frustrating, and we've got to understand that and feel that today. But As we move forward, we got to use that to motivate us to look at, you know, what we've done well and what we need to correct, and you know, how we need to attack this week going forward.
Mm-hmm. All right, there was a lot there.
There you go. Here's Saquon. Saquon says they're tired of losing, but they're not a bad team.
I'm sick of losing. Everyone's sick of losing. No one wants to lose. But I wouldn't consider us a bad team. We just got to figure it out. And that's the difference.
Now, you know I don't ever criticize broadcasters. Too hard of a job.
Go ahead.
But if you're watching that game yesterday, Saquon scores that touchdown from the one-yard line, jumps up in the air, just barely gets in. And Jonathan Vilma goes, that's why they picked him with the second pick in the draft. Really? That's why? Or they want him to break 30-yard runs? I don't think the goal line leap is why they drafted him with the second pick in the draft, Jonathan. That's a little bit of a leap on your part. I think they selected him to be a game breaker, not somebody who could jump from the one-yard line.
I mean, it was nice, but you'd like
but
to
that's
see
not
it
why they dropped him with the second pick.
It's a bit much. I'm with you. It's a bit much. But you know what, Saquon, here's what I would tell you. This is what bad teams do. Not every bad team loses 60-0 every week. Sometimes bad teams, you know, blow games like they did against Washington, where it was right there on the table for them to win. And sometimes it's allowing an awful team to score, you know, 10 points in the fourth quarter in your own building. You know, don't judge how good or bad you are based on the final score. It is at the end of the day, wins and losses, you're still 0-3.
You have to remember, there's so many different ways to suck.
So many ways.
I've seen them all. Here's Joe Judge on his way to the Hall of Fame, as Michael's predicting. We have to keep working.
No, I think the DNA of our team is the team comes back and goes to work. Okay, look, no one's going to be happy after a loss. That's the reality of what it is. Okay, the element of what we do as professionals, we got to come back and go to work. We got to watch the tape. We got to key on it. We prepare for a tough opponent coming up next week. So, in terms of, you know, the morale of the team, you know, I trust in the way the guys work, the way I see them work on a day-in, day-out basis, and they stick together as a team. That's the biggest part right there I'm looking for, is how they work.
Boy, coaches use the same nonsense. Practice well, we work hard. Shouldn't that be a given?
Yeah.
These are the players that you put together. They should work hard.
Joe, I do like Joe Judge, all right? But this is all just babble. Blah, 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 blah. All right, coaching is not about how you own the press conference and saying all the right things. We're just going to go to work. Not just about going to work. Yo, it's just about playing the game and snapping it down. It's about four down. Be better than the other team. You know, give me all that garbage. You don't win the darn game, for God's sakes. You don't get paid for your press conference. You don't get paid for your cliches. You don't get paid for your rah-rah walking off the podium yesterday. We're going to be all right. Oh, yeah, we're going to be all right. Okay. You know, the doctor says I've got 6 months to leave, but the homeless guy outside the hospital says, you're going to be okay. What does it matter? You're going to be okay.
Wow.
What have you done to make me think it's going to be okay? And this is coming from a fan. But, Michael, it's all just words. It means nothing. Go out there and execute. They went out and spent a lot of money. Go out and play. I'm getting tired of the coach speak, all saying all these right things. I'm tired of these tweets of pictures of garbage cans on the ground. Oh, John Mara kicked the garbage can. Oh, that's great. All right. I'm supposed to be happy that you're mad you lost?
I
want to see changes. I want to see better.
Nobody saw John Mara kick those cans over. They just assumed it was him.
Whatever, but it's out there as if I'm supposed to feel okay now that John Mara's upset. Well, that doesn't make me feel good that this team, since 2017 now, is 11-31 at home, 20 games under 500 at home. The Jets and the Giants are tied for the worst record in football in that very same span. But I'm supposed to get excited because the owner reportedly kicked garbage cans, and Joe Judge is saying we're just going to get back to work. That's how I judge the team. No, judge the team on the W and L column. That's where we judge it. Because you know what, Joe? Love you to tears, but all this talk and jumping in the mud with the players and all that stuff isn't going to mean anything if you've got 9 wins in 2 seasons and you're out of a job. All right? We all get on Bill Belichick. He's a boring interview, and he doesn't say anything in a post-game press conference. Yeah, it's annoying and it's garbage, or Greg Popovich, the way he does it. But you know what? You get judged on the wins and losses, and those guys won a lot of games, and they won a lot of championships. So they get to be that way. You're talking and saying all these right things mean zero at the end of the day when the numbers in the L column dwarf the ones that are in the win column. Come on.
I would also say this. We said this last week, and I know I think we have Coach Kitchen soon.
He just left. I'm sorry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Don did not. He came by. He leaned into the room. He was ready to go.
Don
and then he said, you know
the
what?
Music.
Yeah, I'll get him for another day.
It's amazing, though, that
– sorry.
Why do we even listen anymore? All they do is obfuscate or lie. They don't tell us anything. And then they talk about the cliches. Oh, they practiced hard, and you know what? These guys don't quit. Stop. Nonsense. That's why you shouldn't have athletes on the air. They're not paid to give you the truth. They're paid to spin.
Well, we got a good sampling of it today, and again, really like the guy. Salah seems like a great guy, but when we talked to him, when you guys both pushed very hard on the Denzel Mims thing, and football coaches have this ability to bring up terminology
that
is like football speak only, and it's their get out of jail free card. Like that whole thing he's saying about Denzel Mims, if he's not one of the top three receivers, then he has to be able to contribute on special teams. And then he uses a bunch of jargon, and it's kind of hard to follow him. But you're telling me that with their potentially their two top receivers down.
And Mims, now Blake Martinez out, too.
Mims can't make the top three of the next. He can't make. You're saying Denzel Mims can't make three through five as a receiver, and he's so bad on special teams that he can't even contribute. I could contribute on special teams. You run down and chase the guy who catches the ball. Give me a break.
Is there any way, Peter, that we could get Coach Kitchens back? Even though Don ignored the music, is there any way?
I've got 6 months to leave.
No, he meant live. I don't know. Is he? Anthony, see if you can still find Coach Kitchens, because there's a lot of emotion today.
Coach, come on back in here.
Key. I watched the game yesterday, and I don't like what I see with this football team. And I would like to say right here on this national television program that I am volunteering to take over as head coach of the New York Football Giants.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've had enough.
Kind of undercutting your coach.
I am
also
the coach.
Admitting, saying that you're not part of the problem.
Excuse me, fella?
You're on the coaching staff of an offense that reminds me of what it must have been like with the seven blocks of granite in Fordham in 1932. Your response?
Never heard of it. However, I'll tell you this. If I am already the coach and I am responsible, then that implies that I do something right now.
Right.
But
you coach the tight ends, no?
I dare you. I double dog.
Why is Ingram still dropping balls?
I double dog dare you to tell me what I do on this team. I dare you. Look up. Hey, Dom, look up what it says on the page. Associate, assistant, offensive coordinator. What is that?
Well, that offense offends.
It's time, guys. It's time. My daddy used to tell me, son. Sometimes when you got a job, you just got to show up every day to work and earn an honest living, go home, hang out with the boys and them, and slop around with the pigs, do what you do. And he said other times in life, you have to sleep with your boss's wife, kill him, and take his family. And that's what I'm ready to do to Joe Judge.
Wow. It's amazing. Every time he talks, he kind of introduces himself.
I'm going to tell the defense, fold that kid in half.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right. I don't know. Should we? I don't want to do more on the Giants, right? There's too much stuff. Do we want? No. Do you want to hear from Eli yesterday to feel good or no? Because no, well, they don't Fox show it on TV.
Fox didn't think we should hear from him.
People would like to hear this for the first time.
I was about to say, you wouldn't get to hear it otherwise, so I guess we should.
You're not going to play the whole speech, right?
No, we have 45 seconds.
All right, let's hear it.
Here's Eli from the jersey retirement.
Being a part of the New York Giants organization has been one of the great joys of my life. I'm indebted to so many wonderful coaches and great teammates. And I'm lucky that I still get to call so many of them mentors and friends now. This day would not be possible without the love and support of my family. It was easy for everyone to celebrate the wins, but you were the ones that were with me all the time, had my back, and picked me up when I was down. And last but not least, a big thank you to the great New York Giants fans.
Well, I guess that's what it was like. You never know because they would never show that on TV.
On Fox. Let's
hear what it sounded like on television when Justin Tucker hit the longest field goal in history to send the Ravens past the Lions.
Its way. It bounces off the crossbar and it's good.
Oh my goodness. Did that just happen, Greg?
What a kick.
Let's hear the call now on WBAL AM 1090 in Baltimore.
A 66-yard try. Tucker's kick is on the way. It is good! Crossbar, and it tumbles through. It is good! Time has expired.
Wow.
Justin Tucker with the longest field goal in NFL history. The hay is in the barn, and it's mayhem on the field.
You know what I think we should do when we come back? Because it's so funny to hear great moments or exciting moments from different viewpoints. So, you've got, I don't know if you've heard this, Peter, and hopefully Anthony could dig it up. You've got to hear Stanton's Grand Slam on Saturday on Nesson.
I would love to hear that.
Oh, it's hilarious.
And by the way, we should also try to mention the pretty awesome Sunday nighter last night.
Yeah.
There have been some good national games so far this year. I don't know if we'll get one tonight with.
I think we will. This
you
could
think
be
so?
Fun. Yeah. Hey, but do you know who one of the main guests on the Manning cast tonight is?
Oh, there is another Manning cast tonight?
Today. Nick Saban. They could get anybody they want. I'm sure they could call Barack Obama and get him on.
Oh, no. Literally, they definitely
anybody could. They want, they will get.
That'll do it for ENN. It's brought to you by Fidelis Care. Fidelis Care community offices are open and can help with all your health insurance needs. Visit FideliscCare.org/offices to learn more. Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Now,
thank
Anthony, you. Will you be able to pull that Nesson call? Oh, Andrew has it. All right. So you got a little, it's so funny. Anyway, when we come back, we'll have that, more of your phone calls. Do we have the big fella today?
Oh, yeah.
We do. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Key. Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.